Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About. I'm your host, Keith Albright.
And I'm your co-host, Zach Collins.
And today we are joined by Alan Webster. Alan, how are you?
I'm having a great day.
I know that Alan is not used to the high-tech recording studio that we have out here. We're back at Paintsville Lake again today, back under Pavilion Number 4.
The mainstay location for this radio program.
We're going to use it as long as we can. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning here in eastern Kentucky, and we are delighted that we are able to come out and we enjoy this morning, but to share with you and to share with you from the Word of God. We want to touch on some things that we talked about last week as we are getting started. We want to remind you, go to our Facebook page, and that is facebook.com/...
Let's Talk About a Christian Radio Program and Podcast.
Well, if you go to the URL, though, it's Let's Talk About Christianity. And that also is our website, letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And the website is up and running, and it actually looks pretty good. There's a lot of stuff on it now.
And we're working on that day to day. Unfortunately, the podcast is still not set up. We are still working on that, and I could give you all kinds of excuses, but the bottom line is it's not working yet. And hopefully, very, very soon, we will have that up and running. We will let you know as soon as we possibly can. Okay, so I mentioned that we've got Alan Webster with us this morning, and he is here in Paintsville this week for a gospel meeting, and we're thrilled that he's able to come out and that we're able to introduce him to Paintsville Lake and introduce him to our program and have him with us. If you've not been able to come to the meeting, well, by the time this airs, the meeting will be over, but you know, you miss some really, really great lessons that are always biblically based and solidly founded in the Word of God. And Alan, we appreciate very much you coming our way this week and presenting these lessons to us. And we want you to know that if you would like to listen to any of the lessons that Alan presented this week, that you can contact us and we will make those available to you. We can share those to you on MP3 or burn you a CD and send it to you in the mail, however you want. But we want you to know that that invitation is always open. Okay, so on our program today, we are going to, of course, the name of the program is Let's Talk About, and, you know, we're trying to keep it casual as we address these biblical topics. We have the website, Let's Talk About Christianity, so you know that what we're going to talk about is going to be not only about the Bible, but about how that applies to our lives as Christians. And I suppose that as we look at what's going on in the world right now, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago that Hurricane Harvey came ashore in Texas and provided just absolutely phenomenal damage there with its own special kind of storm. And now we're right on the wake of Irma that was just as destructive, but in a completely different way. And when we have things like this, people always tend to want to ask, what can I do to help? And it's at times like this that the height of our awareness of the need to do something it is really brought to our attention. But the truth of the matter is that in our lives as Christians, there is always the need for service.
That's right.
And it doesn't, you know, we should not be waiting for a major disaster to find ways to serve. And Alan, in one of your lessons on Sunday morning, you talked about different ways that Christians can serve, and certainly I'm not going to ask you to go back to Romans chapter 12 and re-preach that sermon for us this morning, but I believe you made the point that we as Christians need to find our niche.
Yes, that's right.
And a lot of times we struggle to find that niche. And when we think about service in the kingdom, we know that there are always things to be done. There is always going to be a need for, as the military saying goes, boots on the ground, and hands that are going to be brought into labor and service. I want to take us, as we begin really, to Philippians chapter 2, and I want to read to you from what Paul wrote there in that chapter. And I'm reading from the New King James this morning, as I commonly do. But Paul wrote and he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He said, "Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." And I realize there's an awful lot in those three verses, and that we could key in on so many different aspects of what Paul wrote there. I want to key in on that phrase where it mentions that Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and remind us that within this context, Paul started out by saying, "Let this mind be in you also, or be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." Jesus had that mindset of not just a servant, but a bondservant. And when we talk about it in our lives today, that word bondservant, it's making reference to slavery. And slavery was something that was common in their day and time. Fortunately, it's not so common in our day and time. Fortunately, from the humanitarian viewpoint, it is something that is looked down upon. But we, as we are studying the Word of God, cannot overlook the fact that not only was it something that was real in their day and time, but the Apostle Paul in particular made so many different references to it. And through analogy, he applied us as Christians, as followers of Christ, to being that type of servant. Alan, you're looking like you got something to say.
I think it really comes to the point that we have to see ourselves as not belonging to ourselves once we become Christians. We really belong to the Lord. And if he were here, what would he do today? And if there is a person near us who needs service, would he serve that person? Would his eyes be open to the needs around him? Would his hands be busy helping those, even in many menial tasks that others might not want to do, but because we belong to the Lord and he was going to judge us on how we served others? He said in Matthew 25, in his Judgment Day preview, that on that day he's going to say, "I was sick and you fed me. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came to see me." Now, those are not things that we think of as some great service. It's not something that's going to be highlighted in the next day's newspaper, or maybe not even mentioned at the next church service that we did this thing. But Jesus notices, and those are the things that we do not receive credit for or glory for here, because that's not the desire. We instead just want to please him. And on the judgment day, he's going to note even things as small as giving a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord to a disciple, Matthew 10:42. So as we go about our daily activities, it's not just looking for some great thing that I could do that would make a difference in some person's life forever, but just small things that can brighten their day for, you know, the next hour or for the next 24 hours.
You know, as we think of this mindset of servitude, and I thought of this as you were talking there, Alan, but, we tell ourselves, I suppose, in our minds that there isn't anything that I wouldn't do. I'm not, if I can use this phrase, I'm not too good to do this or to do that. And yet, how many times do we pass up opportunities to do good without ever really, you know, coming up with a reason or you know, having the thought that that task or that person even is beneath me? And when we think of that mindset of servitude and Jesus and the way that that Jesus presented himself, the way that Jesus took opportunities to serve, you know, I suppose the instance that probably comes to all of our minds is in John 13, where he washed the feet of his disciples. I think sometimes we forget just how menial a task that really was.
And to me, this is the greatest form of Jesus' servitude, when he washes the feet of his disciples at the Passover feast. And perhaps no passage in the Bible illustrates this, the heart of a servant, more than this passage of Scripture. And I can just imagine the scene. You know, all have been prepared for this last meal with his disciples, with the exception of one thing. And according to the custom of the day of a servant, with a basin of water and towel in hand, he would wash the feet of his guests who'd walk down the dirty roads of Palestine. But who would take the position of this servant and perform the task? I can just see the disciples looking around at each other and expecting someone else to do it, but never for a moment considering it himself. And then out of the blue, as a perfect picture or a perfect lesson of servitude, the Lord Jesus rose to the task. He laid aside his garments, he put a towel around his waist, and took water in a basin and began washing the feet of his disciples. All of which was a fitting analogy of yielding his privileges, of yielding his transcendent power and assuming the role of a slave.
And in that instance, you know, for us, washing feet is primarily academic. It's not something that, you know, me personally, I've never had anybody wash my feet before. I get weirded out
when people touch my feet.
You know, and other than my children that had been out playing in the mud, you know, I don't think I've ever washed anybody's feet. So that is sort of an academic discussion for us. But, you know, we still have that example of the mindset of Jesus and his willingness.
And you know, Keith, a good modern-day equivalent of it, I think, would be caregiving for someone in your family who has reached the point in life where they can't take care of themselves. You know, maybe they're bedridden, maybe they are housebound, and they're as a child again. You know, there was a time when maybe it's a parent and they took care of you when you were a baby and changed your diapers and made sure you had food when it was time to eat and made sure you were comfortable. And then sometimes those tables reverse over time, and they may enter that same type situation the last part of their lives, and that's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to do once, but it really becomes a task when it is a day in and day out process. But when we think about what Jesus did here, he was setting the example for those that we know, we love, and they have needs that we're not too good to help them when they can't help themselves. We're willing to get our hands dirty. We're willing to put up with inconveniences, taking our lives and our schedules and rearranging them so we can be there when they need us because someone needs to serve them. And not only that, but there are others in emergency situations that we find someone's house burns, they have some difficulty in their emergency in their family where they cannot be at home for a time, and we go and do the things that they would do if they were home, or we go and sit in the hospital with someone so that this person can go and keep the job that's important to them that they need because they've been out so many days. So there are a lot of different ways to serve today. A lot of them are not things that we would think of until we are in the minute or in the situation or we see the need. But as long as we have our eyes open, I think about what the Bible says of Jesus in Acts 1:1. He began both to do and to teach. One reason he was such an effective teacher is because people could see that he lived what he taught. They could see that he cared for people. And then when he preached, they responded favorably to it. And then in Acts 10:38, the scripture says that Jesus went about doing good. It wasn't something that was scripted. It wasn't something that when he got up in the morning, I'm going to be at this place and help this person. It was more as he went about his daily activities, his eyes were open and he saw people around him And he said, that person is hurting, or that person is in need, or that person is hungry. And Jesus used the resources that he had to help individuals just as he went about his daily activities. And it's almost like when you play the game as a child, I spy some color, and you might not have noticed that color before someone chose it. Then when you go about with eyes that are open, not just to my task for today or my to-do list or what would please me, but I go about with my eyes open to the people around me, and I see pain, I see need around me, and can I make a difference with this person? It might just be holding a door open for someone. It might be, here's a hungry person, and I've got some additional money today. I can share my lunch money with this person and feed them. Or here's a person who needs the gospel. They seem really lost and out of sorts. And can I bring some scripture, some wisdom from God to their lives that would help them? You see, service is not so much something that we plan to do. It's just something that we see a need and then we do it.
And Mark 10, verse 45, and I think you mentioned this earlier, Keith, you know, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And in that verse, I believe that the most pivotal word is the word even, because it draws a contrast to what he was, the Son of Man, and what he did. He humbled himself. He came to serve by giving his life as a ransom so that we could have eternal life.
I was, and I know this sounds extremely random as I begin this, but I was studying a couple of weeks for my CDL license, and that's a whole nother story, and we won't get into that, but there was a section in the book that I had to read that was on road rage and, you know, preventing road. I told you it sounded random, but they made the comment in that section that, you know, when you see another driver that is behaving erratically, whatever their problem is, odds are it's not about you. They have their own problems that are causing them to, you know, their situation, whatever it is that is causing them to cut you off or you know, whatever, didn't have anything to do with you. They have their own problems. And in their point that they were making in that book was, don't make their problems your problems, you know, by responding wrong. But the point I wanted to make from all this is that when you see someone else, they do have their own problems. And as they have their own problems, it may be that we as Christians need to reach out to make their problems our problems to be able to help and to serve.
To really get involved in the lives of other people, because that's what Jesus was about. He didn't come to serve himself, he came to serve others. And so when he was here, he looked for others to help. And really that's the great joy, one of the great joys of being a Christian, is at the end of the day to look back over the activities and the words. And none of us look back with any pleasure on the episode where we became angry and said something that we shouldn't have said or that we regretted later. That's not going to help us sleep better at night. But when we go back over a day and we think about the people that we helped, the opportunities that we served the Lord, and it really makes us, it gives us joy in the short term, and in the long term, it brings glory to God. Others can see, here's a nice person, here's a helpful person. Why are they different than other people that I know? And it won't take them long to come to the realization that it's because we're Christians, because we have a master that has emphasized the importance of serving others and not just serving self.
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, I was in a Facebook discussion with a friend, and he was talking about they were wanting to build a culture of mercy within the congregation where he was serving. And he was just, you know, he had thrown it out there asking for suggestions. And one thing that I pointed out on that discussion was, when we think of things like mercy, or as we are talking about today, service, it's great when we find those unintentional, those unplanned opportunities to be able to serve. But the point that I made regarding mercy is that maybe we need to have a plan. And, you know, I know if you, okay, Zach, let's say you set the goal, I want to be more merciful. And, you know, if you made a plan and said, okay, I am going to go out and I'm going to be merciful in these areas, you know, today, you might feel a little hypocritical as you were beginning. Just like if you said, I want to be more mannerly, more polite. And so you set the goal, I'm going to hold a door open for someone today, or I'm going to say thank you to the server at the restaurant or whatever. And, you know, and as you started using those manners, you might feel a little hypocritical, but the goal is to inject it into your personality and for that to become a part of you. And I think the same can be true of service as well, that we need to have that goal to make it a part of our very nature.
I agree with that, Keith. And I think we all need to give some consideration to the limited time that we have in this world. You know, we can live our lives in such a way as to not really make much of a mark on the world. And if we live it selfishly, if we live it for pleasure, if we live it for making money, then those things are not going to make a difference in the long run. But if we invest ourselves in the lives of other people, then they will outlive us. And the legacy that we will leave for the world is one that may inspire others, that may continue from one generation to another. So I think that we have to be intentional about our service. A lot of people live lives that are regrettable because they give their lives in service to sin and Satan. Many people live their lives in such a way as to be forgettable because they just don't serve others. They don't make a lot of difference. And then there are only a few who live lives that are exceptional. And those are the people that live lives intentionally. They get up in the morning and they have a goal. They have a purpose. And it's more than just get through the day. It's more than just I want to receive glory from men. It's more than just I'm going to enjoy today. It's I'm going to find some way to honor Christ today. And it is important to look for those opportunities that are more or less happenstance or providential. But it's also important to have some part of my life, if not my vocation, given in service to others. That I say I'm going to give this number of hours, or I'm going to make this a hobby, so that I can make sure that I'm doing something of service to others regularly. So I think there are four ideas to help to define or find that place in the life of any person. One is, what are you interested in? What am I passionate about? Am I really passionate about young people? Then I can invest my life in coaching Little League. I can invest my life in teaching a Bible class of third graders or whatever it is that I have the opportunity to do in my congregation. It may be that I have a real interest because of some back story in my life of helping those who are handicapped or those who have difficulties that others don't really understand. They can be compassionate about or to that person, but they don't really understand how to help because they've never lived in the same house with someone who has that particular situation. But I may have grown up with that. Maybe I'll have a parent that's deaf, or I have someone in my family that had a car accident and they had some long-time problems because of that. So I understand how to help people with a particular handicap. Then I may be able to take that, which I'm passionate about, and apply it to other people.
Everybody has a backstory. are you going to let that backstory haunt you, or are you going to let that backstory help you?
That's a great point. It's also important to look to see what needs to be done. You know, sometimes you look around and there's someone that's not being taken care of. You see that in Acts chapter 6 when the widows were being neglected. I don't suppose that those who received that assignment necessarily had a special talent for helping widows, but here's a group in the church that didn't have a voice. They didn't have someone to care for them. They were vulnerable. And so the church said, we're going to help these people. We're going to assign these individuals. And they, I suppose, could have said no, but they took it on them to be servants.
And they had a plan.
They did.
And they implemented that plan, and they followed through with that plan. And, you know, I've heard I don't know how many times I've heard people argue and say, well, you know, plans don't work. Well, if you don't have a plan, that certainly is not going to work. But
that's right.
And as in our discussion today, you know, and that regard there from Acts chapter 6, that was sort of the church's plan, if you will. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with having an individual plan?
It's true.
But anyway, Alan, proceed.
And I think another thing that is important to ask is, what do I have the opportunity to do? It may be that I have a special interest in something, but right now there may not be a door of opportunity to serve in that particular way. Maybe someone else is already filling that role and doing a good job in my congregation or in my community. So I may need to look around and say, well, what is my opportunity? Because as you go through life, a lot of it is about timing. It's about being the right person at the right time. And you think about Paul as he was traveling with preaching the gospel on his missionary journey, and he wanted to preach in one area, but the Spirit forbade him to go there, so he just kept pressing forward, and before long he was in Europe. He was at Philippi and was the first to preach the gospel there. So there was a bigger plan that Paul might have missed out on if he had had his first choice, and he moved on and thus was able to do something greater than he might otherwise have done. And the same thing may be true with us. We don't need to hold out and say, well, I'm not going to serve in this way because I really want to serve in this way. Well, if there's an opportunity to serve, then take it, and it right. may grow into something better, and you may later be able to get someone else started in that role and switch to what you wanted to do.
Right. When we think of those opportunities, a lot of times we tend to want to wait for those opportunities to come knock on our door.
Yeah.
We need to be looking for the opportunities that are there. Okay, Alan, you said you had more points.
Well, I think it is also important as you look for opportunities to serve, not to just wait on someone to come and find you and say, would you do this? You know, there are opportunities in every congregation to serve people. You don't need the elders or the leaders to come and say, well, we would like for you to go visit the nursing home. Well, that no one is going to forbid you to do that, and everyone knows that that's a need, but many times we don't take time to go and visit people who are very lonely, and we could just spend a few minutes in different rooms in the nursing home and really help a person. They'll think about that visit the rest of the day. Might be the only person that came to see them all that week, and it really didn't take much time to do it, and it really made gave a lot of encouragement to that individual. Another thing, what about people in the hospital? You know, can you go by and leave a track with them, or perhaps go by and see, is there something that you need me to do? Is there some way that I can serve you? Could I have a prayer with you? There's also an opportunity to go and watch children play and students play in their ball games. You know, it meant a lot to my children when they were playing to have others to come and watch them mm-hmm. and cheer for them when they were playing basketball or Little League baseball or whatever it is. And then Sunday when they come around and you say, boy, I saw you play. You had a great game the other night. Well, that's going to make another connection with the church. That's going to make them feel like the church cares about them. And as they grow up, they're going to feel included. And many times young people grow up and instead they feel on the fringes. And this can be small things that make a difference. So don't wait to be invited to do something. Go find something to do.
And that is certainly a great point. And you know, we all need that encouragement to get up and to open our eyes to the opportunities that are certainly there. We are about out of time for today's episode, unfortunately. Alan, we want to say thank you for being with us today. Go to our Facebook page, go to our website, share these links with your friends, and definitely tune in next week to Let's Talk About. Zach, you have anything to add?
I never do.
You never do. thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.